Hello and welcome to On the Page, a podcast happily brought to you by the Writers Festival of Belgium. I'm Alia Papageorgiou, the director of that same festival, a longtime journalist in Brussels, a resident here, originally from Melbourne though, trying to be an author, but we'll see how that goes. We are looking though to keep books right at the top of your agenda here in Brussels and across Belgium, or wherever it may be that you are listening to us. Today we speak to Esther Anatolitis, who is the editor of Minjin, which is one of Australia's oldest and highly respected literary journals, and also a founding member of the Emergent Writers Festival. She has taken part on many literary festivals across Australia and brings us her thoughts on what is a writer's festival anyway, which is the main question I started with for setting up these chats today. But we get into a lot of other things as well with Esther. So enjoy.
Mianjin is Turrbal word for Brisbane, but part of Brisbane. So in the local First Nations mob in the language of the Yagara and the Turrbal people, Mianjin is the spike of land on which central Brisbane sits. And Mianjin was founded in Brisbane in 1940. It's one of Australia's oldest, most venerable literary journals, which meant, you know, quite a bit of trepidation on coming in as editor. It's been going for 82 years, which is quite extraordinary. Essays and fiction and poetry and so on have appeared in Mianjin that have really changed the way that Australia sees itself. The current edition, autumn 2023, is my first. But from the next edition, we're making some changes, and not just design-wise. I think that there will be a new design, which is something that every new editor has enjoyed the prerogative of doing. But I'm also making some changes around the structure, the content structure of the journal. And one of the most noticeable ones will be that there will always be a piece by a First Nations elder or writer that reflects on place. And that piece will be the very first thing that a reader comes across. It will come before even the contents page. And it goes back to the founding editor of Mianjin, Clem Christensen. He chose the word Mianjin because he felt that the most important determinant of culture is place, or the spirit of place. So he was in Brisbane for only 5 years before moving to Melbourne to make more of a success and more of a go of the publication. The first essay that I've commissioned for this new focus for Mianjin is by an elder from Brisbane, who's Guri and Yagara speaking, and is not just an elder but also a linguist, Gadja Kerry Charlton, and she is actually looking at the linguistic and cultural history of the word Mianjin, particularly in this year of the Voice to Parliament referendum, which is going to, it's already an enormous conversation in Australia. Are we mature enough as a nation, but also in terms of Parliament, to entrench in the Constitution the fact that the sovereignty of First Nations was not ceded, that they are the first peoples of Australia, and that they should have a voice in matters that affect them. And so there are some really big, deep cultural conversations happening in Australia, but there are also some very superficial, offensive and racist conversations happening. And so it's, you know, even more important to think about what are the places and the platforms, the context, the festivals, the places where we gather to exchange ideas, and how do we strengthen the way that critique and cultural exchange can happen. So I think it's, yeah, really timely to be having this conversation.
How do books help us with that, do you think? How do books and authors help us to get to that place as well? Because I know that's a literature review, but...
Well, it's an absolute gift, I think, every time we pick up a book, knowing that that writer has spent years and years and years to develop this, whether it's fiction or a poetry collection, whether it's essays and critique. If we think simply of the work of the writer, the editors, the entire team, any book that we pick up is kind of like a time capsule, but also a time machine. You know, it's been put together for us from the past, and it's designed to withstand the test of time. And so, you know, one of the great and beautiful, I think, distinctions between a book and a journal, and, you know, obviously we invite writers who are novelists, but also who are journalists and experimental writers, and so people who write very long form and very kind of short form can all be published in a journal. And so a journal, which comes out every quarter, is trying to set an agenda while also standing the test of time. You know, people collect journals. The people who are published within them, there'll be some well-established writers, artists, poets, but also the voices that we might not have heard of yet, who are still early in their career and their thinking, or maybe this particular piece marks a turning point in their practice. And so while books, something we can kind of curl up with and really immerse into this one particular world, with a literary journal, we're sort of being welcomed into or confronted with this particular cultural moment, you know. So Meanjin is really all about encapsulating this particular Australian cultural moment and giving readers lots of entry points into that.
So I know you've been involved with lots of writers' festivals in Australia. You've probably attended a lot more as well. What do you think is a writers' festival? Like, what makes up a writers' festival? And what have been some experiences where it's made you reflect that this is something that is worth attending, to find something or discover something that maybe they wouldn't have thought of? What do you makes a writers' festival?
I think any festival is kind of this wonderful state of exception in your week, your few days. You know, that you can go to a talk by a writer or a launch in a bookshop, you know, at the end of the day, or you can wander into a library and, you know, just visit the public program. But a festival that's a, you know, good few days in a row means that everyone's sort of given each other license to just immerse in a whole set of conversations about what are people thinking, what's the response to this work, what does a particular writer think about this particular issue, how did they come to put this book together, or how did they come to craft that poem, how can we understand a writer's technique, what does it take to get published. So hearing from publishers, hearing from designers and graphic artists, and the full range of people that we understand as writers. And I think in many ways writers' festivals are kind of more, what's the word, maybe they're more accessible, I guess, than other kinds of arts festivals, because everybody writes and everybody reads. And whether we just scribble a few notes together, or whether we're on social media, whether we've got short stories and poems and, you know, little essays we wouldn't want anyone to look at, you know, we all understand what the craft of writing is, even if we're no good at it. And we all understand what the world and the posture, the embrace of reading is. And we all know and recognize a range of different writers and love to be, you know, delighted and intrigued by what we have yet to discover. So writers' festivals are just that wonderful space of allowing us all to come together, spend a good few days immersed in great thinking and great craft, and let that keep building on. You know, you go to a session, you go to another one, you come back the next day, and you just feel, you spend those days and you leave feeling invigorated. You know, your mind that is open, more is possible. And I think those experiences in life where we leave feeling like more is possible than had been just a few days ago. That's the richness of life.
Are there too many of them now, or there's not enough and not enough people know what, you know, this goodness and this richness that can be felt mm-hmm. there? And I mean, what do they all have to have an agenda, or like tell us what's like one of the best experiences you've had at a festival?
I think there's definitely not too many of them. Every now and again, particularly in Melbourne with so much going on,
yeah.
I'm sure Booksale is the same, there's this notion of, you know, every now and again there'll be a, you know, someone will write in the paper, oh, there's too many festivals, the festival calendar is too cluttered. And I think there's, as I often say, there's two main groups of people who will never have that complaint, and that is artists and audiences. People love to be able to go and have these experiences. Just earlier this year, I was in Fremantle, just outside of Perth, for Perth Writers Week as part of the Perth Festival. And that, which is curated by Sisake Msimang, was a wonderful, welcoming event. And I think what made that really great is, first and foremost, the place. So it's in Fremantle, which is a seaside, portside, you know, industrial, former industrial, but also very artistic place. The specific place, the Fremantle Arts Centre, has a history in that town. It was once, I think, possibly a women's asylum or institute of some kind. So there's a number of kind of lovely heavy sandstone buildings with a wall all around them and some open public spaces where marquees had been set up. It's, you know, it's Western Australia in the Australian summer, so there's no need to be indoors. You can have this wonderful experience just being outside together for several days. The way that the program was curated, the way that the chairs of sessions were briefed to be great facilitators, the strong diversity in terms of not just cultural perspectives but genres and ages and, you know, sort of art forms in general. The fact that there was this, you know, hill with all these food stalls, there was a chill out area with the seats and beanbags, like, you know, a specific place to just go and sit and talk to people about the ideas you've just heard. And the fact that it was quite easy to drift in and out of different sessions just meant that it created this wonderful environment where the whole premise was, let's just sit and talk about interesting or difficult or inspiring things. So that was a real highlight of recent festivals. I have really loved where the Emerging Writers Festival is going in Australia. I'm a little bit biased because I was one of the founders of it 20 years ago. And it's celebrating 20 years this year, which is quite like, oh, my God, where'd the time go? that began as a partnership between Express Media, which I used to run, which is Australia's national literary organisation for young people. So it publishes a journal and does like great workshops and things. So a partnership between Express Media and the Victorian Writers' Centre, who's now called Writers Victoria, and their members are writers of all ages. And we realised, of course, that this idea of an emerging writer, it's not about age. You can start to develop a writing practice at any age and you'll still be early in your career as you're doing that. So it wasn't just something for a youth literary arts organisation to be doing. So we got together on this partnership and then after a few years realised this was bigger than both of us and that it needed to go out and be its own independent thing. And one of the conversations that it has sparked among people who run writers' festivals is that although they're called writers' festivals and the people who are presented are writers, it's often a festival for readers. So we attend writers' festivals, you know, because we love to see these writers, want to hear the story behind the book or the poem or the work. But the Emerging Writers Festival is a festival for writers. It's also about developing your craft and getting published and understanding the whole kind of literary landscape and, you know, trying to navigate it, talking about what it means to be emerging and how do you get that mentoring and support. What does intellectual property and copyright mean, and taking a particular cultural position that's not your own, and looking at all the ethics around that. So the Emerging Writers Festival, I think, is quite unique around the world, and it's just wonderful to see that going strong as well. We need the context that bring together cultural groups, but also languages. And I've already publicly committed in Mianjin to publishing work in multiple languages, in languages other than English. And that's something I explicitly commission for and invite. It's in the submission guidelines that submissions need not be in English, that when we publish translations, they will not be in the printed journal, they will be online. So people need to have that experience of perhaps seeing work in another language, just as people who don't speak English have the experience of seeing English as a, you know, as something that, that printed English that would, you know, be repelling, be intimidating. We need to normalize multilingualism in all the ways that we can. And I think that's something that Australia has not done well at all. Certainly not in writers' festivals. I can't even think of a writers' festival I've been to where there have been sessions presented in other languages, with the exception — is one of those things, that this is the exception that proves the rule. Many years ago, Julien Lair, who is a multilingual global governance specialist, he has a piece in the latest Mianjin. He was running a project called the Marco Polo Project, which was about cultural exchange between Australia and China. This is maybe 10 years ago. And he presented a small festival. In fact, no, I think the Marco Polo Project that year was possibly a satellite of the Melbourne Writers Festival. Or even the Emerging Writers, I'm struggling to remember which one it was. But there were sessions, and there was a session that I chaired, which was with a group of Chinese cultural critics who were visiting, and then also Australian critics. And the whole panel was presented bilingually. There was a translator. And having done that sort of thing before, I, of course, had the patience and the scope to, you know, facilitate with short questions, you know, short answers, keeping the flow going. It is so essential that we do normalize it, not only because this is how, you know, we think and speak and are raised and interact with each other, but also because it constantly reminds us that there is more than one personal and cultural perspective to every issue.
Do you think that the politics of festivals bring new conversations, or that's not really where they're going, but just that people need to keep talking about ideas, and that's why?
Yeah, they should bring new ideas. They should spark conversations, and equally for the writers who are the guests, because hopefully every panel or session at a writers' festival is bringing together writers who might never have met before. It should spark something for them as well as for the audience. I think part of the problem there is that the expertise area of facilitation is often downplayed, is often really underestimated. You know, you go to events and conferences, for example, where the people who've been invited to chair a session, it's because they're important somehow to the institution who's presenting this event or this conference. You know, maybe they're on a board or a committee, or they're a local important person, someone who you know, might be well known. But, of course, facilitation is not about the person facilitating, it's about the writers who they are presenting. And a good facilitator or, you know, moderator, good session chair will make that work look utterly invisible and will make sure that the guests, the writers, are speaking for far longer than they are. And so this is the grave error that most festivals make, and I've seen it in, you know, even in the best festivals. It's really, really unfortunate, and you can have the best program, it can be beautifully curated and designed, but if the person on the stage with the writer is going to undermine everything, then that is a festival destroying thing. You know, similarly, writers need to be able to come onto the stage absolutely confident that the person who's moderating the discussion has actually read their books, which, you know, is a basic, and are going to ask relevant, interesting questions that aren't superficial, that aren't the same questions that they might have, you know, heard a thousand times over. And hopefully if there's a great coherence among what the festival is presenting as a whole, the kinds of questions that really draw on the festival's focus or themes or priorities at this time. So I think, yeah, that facilitation is everything.
I was wondering if you could share maybe a book you were reading. Nothing, you know, it can be something that you love, or it can be something that's on your book table at the moment, or
yes. So there's always far too much that I'm reading at the one time. Here is a book which is a collection of essays by Asian Australian writers. It's called Against Disappearance, and just some of the some of the most interesting writers in Australia at the moment. Enclave, which is Claire Coleman's book, actually kind of sits alongside Alexis Wright's new book, which I haven't started yet, called Praiseworthy. So two of Australia's most important First Nations writers, and both of these books are kind of about dystopias and settling into them and finding ways to escape them. And I think it's probably something that, you know, Aboriginal writers think a lot about in Australia, but also I'm sure stuff that's been triggered by, you know, thinking about the pandemic and what we've been locked into and the choices that we make. Sharon Burns' book, Childhood. This is a writer and a critic and journalist who is reflects on a complex childhood of poverty and distress and family dysfunction, but he's just such a clear, crisp writer. And then this book, Another Australia, is edited by Winnie Dunn, who's the co-CEO of Sweatshop Writers in Western Sydney, and is just a really great set of alternative visions. It's an anthology of, I was going to say alternative visions for Australia, but it's actually, you know, the real Australia as presented through a range of diverse voices. And, of course, here's The Lesbian Engine, which is...
I'll take a photo of it. Congratulations.
Fantastic writers in that. So, yeah, lots to read at the moment.
So that was Esther Anatolitis from the Meanjin Literary Journal, Australia's premier literature review. I'm Alia Papageorgiou, and this podcast was made possible by our wonderful producer, Paul McNally, at podcast.brussels. We'll be back with more interviews, ideas, and episodes soon. Keep writing if you're writing. and join us for the Writers Festival of Belgium on the 13th and 14th of October of this year. You'll find all our details on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll talk to you soon.